Tonight on Survivor with J-Jack and Colleen, we're going to recap and review episode 7 of season 41, There's Gonna Be Blood. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Survivor with J-Jack and Colleen. My name is Jay.
My name is Colleen.
And I'm Jamie.
And welcome to the show. Yes, Jamie Joe is subbing in for Action Jackson Glatfelter this week. Jamie, thank you. Welcome to the program.
Hey, hello. Thanks so much. Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, somebody's got to fill in. And honestly, it could only go up from where Jack usually brings to the show. So I'm sure.
That's very true.
It's,
we might get some new jokes in.
No, I'm going to miss them.
Up on me during the feedback.
Don't hold your hopes too high. I like a good pun.
All right, you can pile on me. That's fine. But we'll still get new jokes. Do you promise that?
I'll see what I can do.
That's what she said.
I seem to say back to you saying we can pile on you.
That's what she said.
Hey, are you recording into GarageBand?
Yes, I'm recording in the GarageBand. Jeez, see, this is Jamie.
Last week, I had to stay up after midnight.
Let's just hold on. Finally,
we forgot to record the audio.
Finally, there's a third party here that isn't the two people that give me the most stress in my life. Jamie, see, you see the conditions I have to work under. It's awful.
Strenuous.
So strenuous. Ro is in the house. If you need a previously on, there's too much going on. Yeah, an obscene amount of previously on this week. Elena Casanova, hi friends. Hello, Elena.
It was during the previously on that I was able to schedule Zachary's COVID shot because there was like 10 minutes of previously on.
I kind of understand Ro's point here because it was a lot. There was like so many different pieces that finally came together. They had all of these advantages and all these different things, and they finally came to a head in this episode. And my first question to this panel is, was it worth it? Jamie, what's your thoughts?
Okay, I don't know that it was worth it for chaos. It was worth it for fun at the end of the episode. Overall, did it really change the trajectory of the game? I don't think so, but we don't know yet.
Yeah.
Oh, I disagree. I think that it totally would have been heavy if not for all of that, like, you know, showmanship.
Is that what we're calling it?
It was a lot.
Well, because, okay, all of the, like, parent, because, all right, we heard, especially after, was it Cambodia, when, Cast was voted out. What's the season where Tasha was voted out?
I want to call out Harsh. Xander before last vote. I'm so sorry, Evie. Harsh after the vote. I told y'all.
I know, right? He had that. But you know what? I did the exact same thing because I was like, it's going to be Sydney. It's going to be Sydney. And then it was like almost Evie. And I was like, right. I guessed it right. I'm going to get a point this week. And then they read Sydney. And I was like, I was right. I knew it was Sydney. It was like,
Sydney was my winner's pick.
Oh. So,
yeah. I mean, honestly, she wasn't like, I didn't put a lot of deep thought into picking her as my winner. It was sort of like her. But then I kind of liked how obnoxious she was, and then I was really glad about my winner's pick, if for nothing that she had entertaining, like, moments. But I was really nervous because my backup winner has been Deshaun. So when they were both up, I'm like, no.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. Luckily, there wasn't like a secret advantage to vote two people out or something. Because maybe
I was stressing.
But yeah, getting back to that, like, I think that it was kind of worth it for the chaos that was within this episode. Yes. Like, that episode where Tasha went off at the merge because apparently just nobody knew who to vote for. And was it her or was it Cass? I can't even remember. Nobody knew who to vote for, and like it just landed that way. And they always say the merge votes are always the like most complicated ones because nobody knows where everybody is
right. Going. You always have like half new either right. side, you know, people that don't know you and voting for people you don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, I thought that it was actually kind of an interesting payoff because everybody knew that everybody else had advantages and everybody yes. was whispering about it. And then everybody was either actually shocked,
not even whispering,
it,
just outwardly
shocked about it,
shouting it from the rooftops about everybody's advantages.
But who, Xander?
No, everybody, like all the, like everything was out in the open.
Everything was out in the open. And you know what? It was actually, like, I can see why it was fun because of how it paid off, where
right.
everybody knew it and they were able to successfully, like, pull the wool over the eyes. But there were so many damn shots to Tiffany gloating that there was no chance that she did not have that. I said yeah. it going in. I was like, oh, they're showing Tiffany.
Yeah,
Tiffany,
you did call that out, Colleen. It was orchestrated well, you know, and all, I think you're right. I think they all did play off really well. It was a really fascinating watch because for me, I was like, okay, obviously they're like telegraphing it, so that can't be true. Like, I was just like, how can you, that's obviously a fake idol that Xander has. It's to somebody else. But then to your point, Colleen, it's like a 50-50 shot. Is it with Evie or is it with Tiffany? They play the right move to give it to Tiffany, which is like the person they weren't even thinking. So much so that Shan was like telling Tiffany the plan to vote out Sydney in the scuffle. And Jamie's backup winner pick, Deshaun's like, what? What are you talking to Tiffany for? What are you doing?
Exactly. Stop that. He's got his eyes open. He knows what to look out for.
And I will say I did really dig Deshaun's gameplay this week because his tribe hasn't really had to do anything yet. So we haven't really got to see his gameplay so much aside from, you know, them looking for an idol in the first, was it the first episode, and Nasir yeah. kind of ratted them out and stuff. But he hasn't really had a chance to play yet. So I really, it was really nice to see some of the players that we haven't gotten to see play their game. And I thought Deshaun had, you know, a really good game. And we pick our player of the game towards the end of this episode. He's in the running, I think, for me, for player of the game, because I thought he had a lot of really good moves. Going back to the chat, Sherry, the episode was so good, had so many levels going on. It's very true. They had to have a 15-minute previously on Survivor just to make sure we knew the stakes. Are so many levels. Rose says it was a fun episode. Chris says, and did I see correctly that Deshaun used his extra vote on Evie? I mean, wasted it. I don't think he did.
No, I saw that comment in the chat and I just counted that there's no way. I don't think that we could have, because we had 1, 2,
because we counted 10 votes.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 people left. And Sydney didn't have a vote. So that's 11 votes left. And it was 3. So somebody else didn't have a vote. Because it was
only 11 people, I thought, left. And there's 10 left after this.
Was, according to Wikipedia, Liana, Shan, Tiffany, Deshaun, Nasir, Danny, Evie, Xander, Ricard, Erica, Heather, and Sydney. That's 12 people. But Chris just said that he rewound and he's holding up 2 votes. Oh, because you watched that part of the.
Okay.
I shut it off to the Survivor. The bonus,
so then he but, okay. So then he used yeah. it there. Okay.
So then, but it was still. Was it then? Was it 3-4? Was it 5-4-4 then? 8 + 5 is 13.
This is a lot of math to do live.
So 8 + 5 is 13. Yep. So that would mean. If we take, so 12 people, Sydney doesn't have a vote, that makes 11. But if Deshaun had 2, that makes 12 again.
See,
so
then
no,
if he did play it and wasted it, then I feel like that's a miss on the editing because they should have showed us that more than at the end of the episode. Because I even watched the end of the episode and I missed it. And I feel like that is gameplay that they're not showing, which I think is a miss.
Yeah,
if that's
I was
true.
Really wondering if Jeff would say, like, here's an, you know, here's the, an extra vote has been played, or if there would be any, and then there was nothing. So I just assumed, oh, okay, so we're not going to announce it then when there's the extra vote, but clearly we just didn't even get to the extra
vote. They haven't announced it in the past, because there's been return to camp conversations in the past at the start of the next episode.
Well, and
that's been,
yeah,
like,
and I suppose the way that they yeah. line it up with you can keep it a secret. You know, you don't have to go back and tell your tribe what you did on the island. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe he did and they just had, you know, there was only so much time left in the edit.
But I feel like that's important because if he wasted it on, but did he waste it on Evie? I mean, I don't know.
But Evie only had 3 votes.
She only had 4 votes against her Or see, I thought it was 4-4-3 or 5-4-3.
I thought it was 3-3-4.
Yeah. It wasn't 3-3-4. I'm pretty sure it was 5-4-3. It had to be. Because they only had three votes for Deshaun because Sydney lost her vote. So then
somebody in the chat needs to tell us. Also,
so maybe it's
here you go right here. Here you go right here. 5 Sydney, 4 Evie, 3 Deshaun.
Thank you, MC954.
So that's what I thought it was. Colleen was wrong. I just want the record to be shown.
I was wrong, but that's okay.
But I was right. So is that Mike? Did he change his username? But anyways, yeah. So that means there was 12 votes cast. So yeah, an extra vote was used. But now, is that wasted so much as it wasn't, because that made it so it wouldn't be tied between Evie and Deshaun?
Well, that's what I mean. Is it so much a wasted, and maybe it's just more of a flush?
Mm-hmm.
Which is still wasted.
Well, not necessarily, because you don't know how it'll play out. What if they did play the idol on Sid and they didn't use the extra vote on Evie? Then it would have been tied, Sid didn't use the thing to lose her vote, and it was tied 4-4, and he didn't do the extra vote, and it actually would have been 4 Deshaun, 3 Evie, and Deshaun's out.
Well, you know something? If Sydney hadn't played her shot in the dark, then it would have been.
But that's what I'm saying. So that's where that's I don't think it's a waste or even flush, because given some different scenarios, if he didn't do the extra vote, he would be out. He'd be out of the game, because you'd only have 3 votes for Evie. You'd have 5 votes for Sid, and she's safe because maybe they give her the idol or that shot in the dark works. And then you have 4 against Deshaun and 3 against Evie, and Deshaun's out. So him playing it at least guarantees that they're tied.
Well, yeah, then it's tied. Or if he doesn't play the extra vote against Evie, then and Sydney plays her vote, then it's 4 Sydney, 4 Deshaun. No, that's still 5-4.
No, so if she has her vote, but she doesn't know. So Sid doesn't know that she has 5 against her, but she could at least play for a tie or some kind of tiebreaker scenario, right? Because it would be 4 Deshaun, and that means that at least 5 have to go to one or the other. And, you know, then it's like a 50-50 shot.
Right.
If you keep your vote.
Yeah.
This is definitely some Brad Culpepper math. Thank you, Elena.
That's part of what makes this season, besides the fact that they have less food and shelter and all of the element things that come into play, with so many advantages and so many idols, really, it's not even just like who you trust the most or what your instinct is. It's just like all you have is your gut, and your gut's not even enough because there's so many other things coming into play. It's like every move you make is potentially dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you do. And so there's so much of all of this, you know, crazy extra things that I thought really worked today. But there's one that I am completely on the side of Danny, which is Erica's stupid, the hourglass thing, the change history thing. And, you know, kudos to Deshaun for being like, no, it's a game and we're all here, you know, CBS, I'm cool with you. Bring me back, please. But like, I'm with Danny. It's like, no, screw that. Like, that's awful. And the fact that, out of all of that, Erica was still like, is she even in the game? Like, is she even part of this still? Like, she's like, this is my big move. And again, her appearance in this episode, besides that, which completely changed who was safe and who wasn't, she was still inconsequential throughout the rest of the episode.
I know. Well, no, she did have a couple of moments at Tribal. But you know what this reminded me of? When you play Uno and it's like reverse cards or skip mm-hmm. a turn card.
Reverse, skip, draw, yep, draw 3. I loved when Erica's like sitting there in Tribal and she's like, this is great. People are finally talking to me. Poor Erica.
Mike says it would have been 4-4-4. They would have gone back, and then a big voting block would have voted one away. Deshaun was safe. without his wasted extra vote. I still don't agree. I still don't agree with that math. But maybe I'm wrong, Mike. Sherry says, would you have broken the glass? Oh, absolutely. Again, yeah. I'm not blaming Erica for breaking the glass. It was the only good move for her to make. You have guaranteed safety. And, you know, you were obviously not thought highly of because you weren't brought along for the ride. So, of course, like, my problem with it was one of the hardest challenges I think we've ever seen on Survivor. They all broke their back to win that challenge. And they knew what the stakes were to win that challenge. So they broke their back accordingly to get the advantage that it was. And you're basically saying this person who has not played a good game, who has not been involved at all, did not play a good social game so that she wasn't brought along. Basically, it's like, here you go. You get to switch it all and you get to be safe. You're welcome. And I think that's not gameplay. That's just the obvious. You basically created and manufactured something as opposed to letting the game play. And that's my problem with it. Now, Jamie, what's your thoughts? I'm curious.
A slight possibility of having a moment to play devil's advocate.
Sure.
Okay.
I am with you 95% on everything you just said, but there is that 5% in my head that says,
please do.
Is it just Erica's social game that provided this opportunity that she didn't deserve? Or was it the crew with Danny choosing Erica to be stuck away from everybody for 2 days rather than, like, if their social game was really, really good and they were really close with Nasir, some groups would maybe be able to make that choice where they, okay, listen, you're still with us, but because we trust you and we know there's probably going to be an advantage, we're sending you. We already know what we want to do with her. Anybody who's watched this game has got to know she's going to come back with an advantage.
Absolutely. I think maybe she comes with a hidden idol or something like that. Absolutely. But I think on the other side of that, it makes perfect sense for them to pick Nasir, who's not necessarily, I think, a strategic ally. Like, he wasn't in the core group of the Huddles, and he kind of was brought in at the last moment
He's just kind of the powerhouse in the competition.
Exactly. And I agree giving it to him because – even though I think they did it pretty, strategically, they did rock, paper, scissors.
The delivery was lacking.
Yeah. But, they're like, we did rock, paper, scissors.
But I want to say that Nasir, I mean, you could argue that Nasir made that tribe successful because he made fire. He was such a great survivalist that he provided so much to that tribe that if there's finally a feast and I'm choosing between Erica, who didn't really contribute to the tribe, didn't really contribute to the social game.
That we saw.
Or that we saw. Right. You have to assume, though, right? Because they're all saying it, too. We're seeing it, right. And they're saying it. And Nasir, who single-handedly won challenges, gave them fire, gave them as much comfort as probably possible for them on that island, which probably contributed to their success on some degree. Say, you know what? You come to the tribal feast. You deserve this. And I think that's... Yeah. If it was anybody else other than Seer, I would agree with you, Jamie. But I feel like that's also the right move to do in that situation.
But hey, they may have given Erica the opportunity to be a stronger player because she has declared that she is not a little lamb anymore. She stayed out in the rain. She tended the fire for 2 days. She was able to lift that really heavy, dramatic hammer, smash the glass, when really she could have just turned the time turner. But
I agree with Mike here. There was really no consequences for Erica. She should have lost a vote or two or three tribals for breaking the glass. Yeah, like all the other idols and advantages are like, Xander, he had to go without a vote for like 10 years just to be able to make his, right? And so many things have like a negative consequence. What's the negative consequence for her?
Wait, she had to be outside in the elements with nothing for 2 days.
Isn't that what they're doing anyway?
For 2 days.
What?
That's what they're doing anyway.
Well, I think if it had been probably any other player right now, except for her, maybe Heather, it would have really, there would have been a consequence. Mm-hmm. Like, she would have been having a consequence because she wasn't together for the first 2 days of Merge. She didn't get to play. Yeah. But because it's Erica, or if it had been Heather, I think it's kind of like, where are they? I mean, but I mean, it gave both the tribes time to merge together. They got to be able to know and feel what it was like to play the game without that other person.
Yeah.
We've seen it where somebody goes for one night and it ruins their game.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Back. But we had two whole days.
Yeah.
So I think the way it was set up, there was some sort of consequence, but by accident and happenstance having Erica, there really wasn't.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Cause you're right. If it was Shan or, you know, somebody else that's like in the game and has like moves to make, being gone for that long is a disadvantage.
That'd be devastating for somebody like Shan, who's really been in it and really making moves and setting things up.
Yeah.
Somebody like Shan, like that's the moment where like her alliance gets tested and Ricard or whoever else like makes their move because they're like, well, she ain't here. So yeah. Elena said that was the only challenge in Survivor history that she could have won. Hashtag monkey toes.
Yeah. Can I just say, I feel like I have pretty good dexterity in my toes. Like I pick up, you know, if I'm cleaning up the house, I'm using my feet all the time to pick up toys and stuff like that. I know you don't really see me cleaning the house because you never clean the house. But the thing that was really impressive was
morning and I come back home and in the exact same condition.
Evie's dexterity was incredible. Like on the HD screen and seeing her, like she was like literally like fingers with the toes.
There are some people that have very good finger toes and I am very jealous.
I mean, it was
Sydney would be good at it because she wears a toe ring, and to me, anybody who can like casually wear a toe ring is going to be able to rock some foot action.
I was also not surprised that Ricard could do it because I feel like this is a challenge that of everybody in our household could do would be Alex, and Alex and Ricard give me the same vibes. So I was
because Ricard has really good posture. Have you noticed that? He has like very like,
yes,
from
I
the
have,
top,
actually.
Like just very like the good core strength and everything.
Yeah. He's got a lot of good things.
I know his hair is awesome. Like, yeah.
Awesome
good
hair.
Good hair, great teeth. You know what? Whatever.
Not jealous or anything.
Whatever. Yeah. It's fine.
All right. So, yes. Erica's thing ended up being kind of a nothing burger, right? Nothing happened, really.
Well, but, I mean, man, Jeff really tried to make her feel involved. Like,
oh, yeah.
It was your hammer swinging that did this. Can you believe what you've done to the game?
It actually was, though. He's kind of right. Like,
yeah, but clearly
changed the course of history. All caps.
Clearly, Erica's not giving the talking heads that he's wanting. So he's having to like, isn't this just crazy? This thing that
actually,
you did.
You could tell when she came back and they were like, what did you do? And she was like, I smashed the hourglass and changed the course of history.
And what that means is,
over the producers clearly were like, let's practice this one more time. And then you're going to say what?
But no, it wasn't because Jeff had to like explain it because she said the thing. And then he was like, and what that means is blah, 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 blah. It was so bad.
There's been a lot of that this season where Jeff has had to re-explain the concepts that he and Mike came up with while, you know, chewing their gummies down and laying out the playboard.
Oh, that's because it was Mike White, right? That developed.
Yeah.
They went to the White Lotus set and they were like, let's do some edibles with Jennifer Coolidge and like hang out. That's how I picture this season happening. And if Jennifer Coolidge was involved,
they found some cool Gen Z kids backpack and it had a lot of various drugs in it that they took. Yeah. So that was that. The challenge itself, a fun challenge, I will say. Like it had good stakes. Colleen, I know you already did your challenge podcast with Zachary right before this, but just can you give us a little taste or preview? What was the feel of the challenge from our official challenge podcasters?
Oh, he loved it. And we talked about the whole episode, actually. He didn't understand. I had to explain to him vote splitting. He didn't understand vote splitting. So I'm going to have to edit that down a little bit because I'm assuming everybody that's listening to
that. But the challenge itself, what was the thoughts around the challenge?
He really liked it. He thought that you and he and I could maybe do it. But he agreed with me that Alex could probably do it.
I have dreams of his next birthday party, like consisting of mini versions of all of these challenges. I just want pictures. If it happens, I just want pictures.
I would love that. But he was also very focused on Liana and Xander. He kept going back to like how Liana wanted to steal Xander's vote and just couldn't get over the fact that
we don't want to spoil too much because the episode is forthcoming. But I will say, you know, this is a challenge that has been done a lot on the show, and I would assume most people, like if you're trying to get on the show, you would practice this challenge in some form or fashion because this has been done a few times now, right?
The foot one?
Yeah, the foot stacking it up and then putting the flag in the middle.
Yeah, anytime I ever see a stacking challenge, all I can ever think of is Sophie yelling at Albert to let her win. And I still love that Albert's handle on social media is like no votes, right? Or got no votes, something like that.
Scott D, why does your pretty picture say beware, Colleen? Wife wants to know.
Oh, it's from Halloween. I can light it up. I will light it up.
Halloween's over. Give me a second. No, don't light it up because it like flickers and it causes me to have gives me a headache.
Jay doesn't like it, but
I hate it. As long as Colleen's happy, that's all I care about.
I am very happy. Yeah, there's lights in that, and it was from Halloween. So I love Halloween, and I decorate everywhere for Halloween.
But Jamie, would you ever have aspirations to go on Survivor?
I am the most unathletic asthmatic. No.
That's
they were like, hey, we randomly are just picking people out of the phone book and it's you, sister. I'd be like, sweet. And I wouldn't have my hopes up past week one.
Are you like hoping it'd be like Survivor cafeteria where you don't have to do any physical challenges?
Yeah, I am like definitely more of the like big brother long game. It's all social kind of person. Like physical challenges would be a nightmare for me.
But honestly, like, isn't that the opening talking head from so many classic Survivor players? Like, I feel like you're primed. You're primed to...
Yeah, that's true.
Be the next three.
Well, I have to tell you, I think that I would end up being more like the next Sydney because when she threw her hissy fit about not being able to start the fire, like, that's me playing Zelda. Okay? It's Zelda. There's no major stakes. It doesn't keep me from eating food or staying warm, and I will still throw that fit, so...
Mm-hmm. Is this Breath of the Wild Zelda or any type of Zelda?
Like anytime there's a temple and a puzzle involved and it's not like letting me win, then yeah.
Chris thought that was in honor of the beware advantage, Colleen.
Yes, that's exactly it.
There you go. Miami Mike switched accounts, I guess. Jamie, definitely don't ride a Zamboni naked to try and get on the show. I'm sure you're aware of Jack's.
Those days have passed.
Yeah. Have they ever really passed, though?
Yeah, this is going to be real. Only Jack.
I mean, Jack was at least 10 years older than you are right now when he was doing
it. I mean, and I did grow up in hockey country. Like, I grew up in Minnesota. So, I guess, never say never.
You could have been.
I've seen that video. It's something else.
You could have been. You could have been that person said son who was dragged out to film it for him. That was me. That was me that did it.
Or Cliff.
That's the real victim here.
I am the victim here.
So this is a real prisoner's dilemma, Jay.
Especially because you weren't promised the family visit.
There was no promise.
I wouldn't want it. Like I have no desire to play Survivor. None whatsoever. It's not my thing. It's like I don't want to go to space. You know, like I'm perfectly happy on Earth. That's for future.
Pictures are really cool, right?
Yeah, I go to space. I do Survivor. Mm-hmm. I'll do anything but heights. I actually tried to.
So you'll go to space, which is as heights as it can get.
Yeah, but you're inside something. I tried to climb a wall.
Window.
I tried to climb a wall for a geocache today, and it was maybe 6 feet up, and there were footholdings in said wall, and I got about 2 feet up, and I was like, nope. I'm out. And I literally got back down and
wait, why would you?
I was driving away and was like, bye bye, I'll never find
you. Wait, why would bring a tall person with you? And then it's not a problem. That's what we do. We just reach all of the high things.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was outside of a low. So I thought about buying a ladder and then going outside and returning the letter.
So you could do
so much time.
You could do Survivor. There's not a whole lot of heights except for maybe when you have to jump off a platform into the water because those get a little bit high.
But I could do that. Like the
Big Brother, there's never any serious heights in Big Brother, but you'd be out of Amazing Race because someone always has to jump out of something really high on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, if they gave me an adult diaper, maybe I'd be fine.
I think you need one of those regardless if you were on
just, that's you very start scaling true. Down. We'll worry about this later.
Colleen, can you say again why you would do the heights in space?
Because you're inside something.
That's what she said.
I knew you were going to do that.
All right. So
honestly, like if like this thing in space, like you would suffocate to death before you like fell to death. So really, I mean, it would just be a slow
death. That sounds like a great time.
Peaceful versus falling.
That's not peaceful. Suffocating, I think, is one of the most horrible ways to go. Anyway,
oh, it's totally horrible, but you would fall asleep. So I mean, that's a lot better than like sitting there with a broken body.
No, you're talking about splat. Splat, you're done. That's it. It's just like an instant thing.
Or you could just explode. I mean, you
not if you fall from 8 feet, which was all this thing was.
Okay, well, you have ladders. Anyway, okay, we're getting off the rails here. We're getting off the rails. Let's get back on the rails. Pre-vote, after this all went down, a lot of shenanigans, everything going everywhere. Everyone's telling everybody's dirty secrets. Shenanigans definitely were afoot. But it was kind of really, in terms of the major players in this, it was Liana, Xander, Evie,
Deshaun,
Danny, Deshaun. And I guess Shan was more consigliere to Liana here, and I think
she's the mafia pastor.
She is, and I think she's better as the mob boss than the concierge, because I don't think she gave the best advice. But thoughts on all of the moving pieces pre-tribal. Jamie, your thoughts first.
One, I think Shan will make an excellent mother because she's got the, we're done, let's go.
Yeah.
She's got that down pat. So like everyone's running to get their shoes and their jackets and she's like, that's it, get in the car. Don't care if you have your shoes or not. The bus is leaving. She's got that down.
That's me.
So
Jay ask Colleen. Had, like I've like started driving down.
Jay once drove away without Zachary on the way to school because he didn't have his shoes on.
I was like, I gave you plenty of time. Let's go. Anyways, go ahead, Jamie. Sorry. Oh, she froze. Oh, you froze for a second. Are you back? It's a good pose. Okay,
fine.
She's back. Okay.
It happens. It happens every so often. I just freeze. I have to reboot myself.
Shan. Great mother skills.
Yes. Tiffany was cracking me up because I don't know. Tiffany. Yeah. Tiffany is such. Okay. I've said this before, but all of us have had a job that Tiffany, that person works at. You know, we've all shared office space with that personality.
Yep.
And I'm so, from like, Long Island. I know that personality, like I'm related to them.
Yeah, there's like this part that's like, I want to believe you're a great big warm hug, but I know better. Like, I know better. And so seeing her sit there like this coy little thing, like, I'm just holding this thing for you, like whatever you want. I'm like, that is the only time we are going to see her in the rest of the game say, what? I mean, you're in charge. This is yours. So those are my two highlights out of the just the chaos. Well, that and Erica, like, really feeling like she got to sit with the cool kids at the cafeteria for a minute. That was fun.
Colleen, your thoughts pre-tribal. I think you got some tribal in there, which is perfectly fine, Jamie. But Colleen, pre-tribal thoughts, and then we'll close on the final bits of the tribal, too. But Colleen,
I thought the way that they all preconditioned each other to play each other was actually really fun. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, because you had Xander trying to play Deshaun, then Deshaun trying to play Xander, and then Tiffany really getting the jump on everybody by being like, Liana has this advantage.
She was so pumped to share that.
Oh, yeah.
She was. But
everybody's been so pumped to tell it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Exactly. And I thought that was actually kind of just fun TV in general. I thought it was interesting that we finally saw, like Mike says in the chat, I'm surprised Tiffany didn't freak out and play the idol on herself. That's really funny. Me too. But like, I thought it was actually very interesting just the way that the dynamics played out. And it was interesting that the one group originally wanted to take Sydney out because they wanted to neutralize the Danny Deshaun thing. And then Danny and Deshaun were like, all right, let's take Sydney out. Like, yeah. I'm all right. Let's vote homegirl out. And, you know, that was a nothing burger. So it's interesting, like, just the way when the tribes, when they came together, which I guess they weren't officially merged because according to Sydney's very salty interview, exit interview, where she was just like, I'm glad that I never have to see these people again, and my daddy's gonna buy me this island, so bye, suckers.
Which is so much better. It's just so much better than what anyone else can offer me.
Meanwhile, poor Jeannie and JD are like, oh, F, this girl's coming with us, darn it.
Oh, yeah, Priya.
Why wasn't it Deshaun? He was cool.
That's true. I feel so bad for the pre-merge boot trip because, yeah, you have to be stuck with Sydney.
I don't know.
She'll like just charter her own card. That's what I'm saying. Maybe she'll just charter her own plane and just do her own thing.
No, I think she will just like
roll her eyes so fast it will paddle her across the ocean
back. Yeah, she's gonna buy everybody shots in every city that they go to, so it's fine.
All right, let's tribal thoughts. We kind of talked a little bit about it all already. Erica being the cool kids table. Deshaun having some really cool moments on outing Evie, on sharing Xander's secrets. All of the conversations going back and forth. It was insane.
And it was fun. It was fun to see that because you know that happens every single season, but we never get to see it to that extent.
Exactly. That's what I will say, because usually it kind of gets annoying, you know, like, but this one, I think we knew so many of the stakes and we kind of, all the cards were on the table. So it allowed us to kind of try and play the math as well of like, okay, if they do go Sydney and so I felt like
also
we were clued into it more. Colleen, go ahead.
As far as like trouble goes, we saw Nasir saying vote Deshaun like 15 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure, maybe the chat can correct me, but
he voted with the big block.
Voted for Deshaun.
Huh?
He
voted with the big block. Yeah.
He was in that big huddle.
He voted with the big block, 100%. But he was doing the Deshaun conversation earlier in the whatever. And then he was over there with the Yasa. He was with the smaller block, and then they brought Nasir in with the big group, and then he stayed. He stayed at that point. See, we miss you.
Do we? Jack is riding the mouse right now, so
he's riding the mouse,
chasing that high down in Florida, living that unvaxxed life.
It's getting so much COVID. All the COVID.
Hey, Jack, we scheduled Zachary's COVID shot tonight. It's very exciting.
He's a week from now, Ours, he quit after last week's twist. Well, I hope, I don't know if Jack is watching, but I hope he knows that it was inconsequential. So, at the happiest place on earth, not on a podcast. Very good. All right.
I think I'm the only person on this podcast that, since we formed a trio, has been on every single episode.
I know. I've been hoping for the day when you're not, but
I can do that. That's an option.
Oh, it's totally an option.
Oh my God, we're not doing the broadcast next week. Jamie, you want to sub in for me here so I can just have a podcast for you?
I'm just going to rotate my place in the screen. That's fine. I'm like a CNC.
Yeah, you'll eventually, you'll be in all three positions. That's awesome. So.
Where's that? That's what she said. Where'd that go?
Oh, you're right. Sorry.
That's what she said.
Arj, I love this. Jack going to pop in the last 5 minutes of the podcast and smash an hourglass. This is a good call by Sherry. I wondered for the first time tonight how Jeff feels about everyone wandering around and talking. He has no control over tribal council anymore. That's an interesting take, because we know Jeff is cantankerous from what we've heard from people that have been on the set. yells at people a lot and gets really agitated very quickly. So I, you know, maybe Jeff is my spirit animal because that's how I feel like podcasting with Colleen and Jack most of the time. But this is a good call out. Panel, what do you think here? Jeff, how does he feel about kind of being taken out of the equation for Tribal?
Well, they leave so much in the edit that I think he loves the ever-loving F out of it because it's less time that he has to talk, but he still gets paid for it.
I think he likes it because he does that whole, like, I could watch this all day. Yes, because he's going, because I did this. These were my ideas. I did all of this.
Yeah,
he's got to watch everything lay out the way he planned. He planned it to go like
this. Yes, yes.
You know, Mike points out, like, the tribals are 2 hours long, so he clearly has a say in what happens.
That's true.
Right.
And that's maybe true. He's like, oh, I asked so many stupid questions. I'm glad that they got up to talk this time. So I got some questions out.
No, well, it's not a really great tribal for him to kind of, you know how he really kind of likes to, like, antagonize situations that maybe normally wouldn't be, you know, he just stirs the pot all the time. But there wasn't a lot of places to really stir the pot because there's like one subject matter and like these people barely got to know each other. So it just did all the work for him.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, also there's about 427 twists that.
There's a few.
And anyway.
Where he just has to learn like the buzzwords. Like production will like just hold up a cue card behind everybody sitting there and be like, mention the don't ask me. Exactly. Beware advantage.
Exactly.
And you know, it's what's crazy, or at least one of my favorite parts of this, so there was a lot in the tribal. But it was just how excited Xander was that his whole, like, fake idol thing played. I was like, well, it's not real.
But you know
it
what?
It finally paid off. He had to say such stupid things for so many days in a row. He's exactly. like, finally I get to say something smart.
That's what I think. I agree. Like, if I were him and I had no vote for that long and I had to win.
It's right. He saved and his stupid quotes about, what was it, the butterflies or the whatever.
Or his dead relative saying hi.
Like, he was just so, like, in your face, in your face.
Like, we had to say crazy things. We had to say crazy things.
Yeah. You know, 20 years from now, he's going to be like, back in my day on Survivor, we had to do these crazy things.
You know, like, for the next 10 years, at least the next 10 years, he's going to get stopped in the street by people yelling that stupid phrase.
Oh, it's true. It is true. Yeah, you're 100% right. Miami Mike, it was crazy to Sean finally learn he had an extra vote because he's never been. Yeah, finally got it. He's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about
that's
this.
Right.
Yep.
So I don't, you know, I even more so, like, I get why he used this. Like, I didn't even know I had it this whole time. So whatever. yeah, like Rudy getting up and saying, nah, not part of the plan. Elena Casanova, fake idols are just our dead relatives saying hi.
I mean, it was so obvious to us. Like, come on. You guys knew that.
He's like, literally, like, I'm putting it in my pants.
Right? Like, he did. He's not JD. He's not, like, going to go take a piss and then, like, put in his just pants and come back like, and be like, oh, sorry, guys.
Liana, did you see me? I'm putting it in my pants. I'm going to hold it until I have to give it to her.
Like, it was
it is.
And the thing is, they talked about knowing that Liana had the advantage.
Yep. Liana knew they knew.
So, like, if you know that I know that you know that I know that you know, why wouldn't you give it to a third person? I mean, come on, guys.
I'm really disappointed in Liana not
and
really thinking that through.
Mm-hmm, I agree. And the fact and that Shan also Shan being a bad concierge instead of the mob boss and not giving the right advice, because, again, this was pretty obvious. Shan's gameplay's been really sharp. As well as Ricard has been really sharp, and they just weren't thinking of that because maybe it's like, I'm going to relax on this one. And Deshaun, I thought, had the real strategery in this episode.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think also Shan did have something. I'm trying to see. I took a note down about it.
Shan was just like, oh, then Evie really has it. And then that kind of led that discussion, even though Tiffany had it, and that allowed Tiffany to be like,
No, here's what it was. This is what I wrote it down. I know Tiffany did do that. That was so ridiculous.
I guess Evie does have it.
The pigtails, the braided pigtails is what really topped the whole thing off.
And so Shan actually said during Tribal, let's play the idol for Sydney. And then her group was like, nah, don't worry about it. And so Shan actually like knew that something was up, and clearly during Tribal something happened where they just was like, all right, let's just cut Sydney loose. We're okay with that. Maybe, you know.
Well, they kind of were saying that before they even went to Tribal. I think they knew Sydney was kind of the easy pick, right? It's that pick where just the easy one, don't have to even stress about it. Easy
interesting pick. That like they know that Xander and Evie suddenly aren't easy picks. Why they wouldn't just vote out Tiffany?
Because they couldn't. Tiffany was safe.
She was on the safe
group. Evie was the only one that wasn't part of
she was in the safe group?
Because remember, it got flipped because of Erica's history-changing move.
Historical. Okay. Do you think that we're going to see... because something we missed is the 2 days at camp. Because we went from Erica last week with, you're going to smash this, right? Because we want you to smash it, right? You're
That's
smashing
what she
this.
Said.
To going straight into the competition this week. So there was 2 days where we had people like mingling. And I'm sure there was maybe a moment or two we saw in editing that they pulled from those 2 days. But do you think like in the next episode, they're going to like pull back into that more? Because then maybe we'll kind of see more than just... this scramble that happened at the end.
Because it really was.
Like once they realized that everything they thought was true for 2 days wasn't, it was a mad scramble.
Yeah,
there
I
was
think
something happening before those 2 days ended.
You're right. And you know, they have utilized flashbacks a lot more this season, which I've liked. I like the flash because it kind of makes reveals a little more fun. But so maybe there'll be something they'll pull to your point, like in the next episode. I think that's a good point. All right, let's round out our thoughts on this episode with best player of the game and goat of the game, lowercase g goat. So first up, player of the game, Jamie, you are our guest. Who do you think was the player of the game?
I'm going to give the credit to Xander.
Ooh,
because
okay.
He That's... had to go, like we said, like 100 years without actually being able to place a vote. And he made it to where he is now with that.
Yep.
The knowledge of pretty much everybody that he works with, knowing what he's had this whole time. He was able to save his idol that was going to be taken away.
He kept
his own ally safe while he saved his idol. So he didn't even have freezing. There we go.
You good?
Sorry,
You're good.
But yeah, he saved his allies without having to use that idol. I know this is controversial at the moment because of math, but he wasted Deshaun's double vote and potentially wasted it and wasted Liana's power.
Yeah.
So like with one move, it was boom, boom, boom.
You're right.
And he walked away with his idol intact.
Yeah.
And a million old school Survivor fans were like, oh my God, so many things are now null and void.
Yeah. And he used a fake idol. And I am sorry. Anytime a fake idol is executed successfully, I get really pumped about that because
that's true. Because you know, generally they look pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jamie, hard to argue against that pick for player of the game. Colleen, who's your player of the game?
My player of the game is Xander, and for all the reasons that Jamie just said, like, the fact they were able to, I mean, come on, guys! Like, who is dumb enough to just pull it out?
That's what she said.
Like, come on, you have to know you're being played! And she was just so confident, and, like, I like Liana a lot, but, like...
I do, too.
Oh my goodness, come on. I think even Shan like did a side eye, like, are you sure about this girl? Like, like I from home knew they were gonna give it to Tiffany.
Well, okay, it's the you're seeing a bigger picture than the players are seeing, but even still, seeing the scenes that she was in, I think it seemed pretty obvious. But
I would have had more respect for Liana if she was like, hey, Evie, do you have the idol? Because it was very obvious when Xander was, like, playing dumb.
Yeah, yeah.
That they were just, like, come on, you know. You know that he knows that you know that he knows that he knows that you know.
Do you know what I think you know that you think you know you know? Okay, very good pick on Xander. I'm going to be contrarian. I think, while I think Xander absolutely had an amazing game, and I think I'm not going to argue against him being your player of the game picks, I'm going to go to Sean because I thought he was really in tune with the social aspects of today's game. Really got to show and see his strategic side for the first time and really impressed me with his gameplay. Yes, Xander made moves that had tons of repercussions and effects on the game in a really big way. So hard to argue against that. But for me, my player of the game is Deshaun. All right, now go of the game. Player that was the least inconsequential, so much so that you would bring them to the end because you know they won't get any votes. Colleen, you can pick your goat of the game first.
Heather.
That's fair. That's a fair. That's a good goat. And Jamie, your goat of the game.
I'm gonna still have to say Heather. Up until this last week, I would have said Erica, but now she's got something big on her resume, and I just don't see like Heather moving Jeff emotionally by trying really hard is gonna be enough to be a risk to anyone else's final two.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. For me, is Heather as well. It was like it was that moment when she was in the big house, like, she's still here. Okay,
there she is.
Don't forget, in her preseason interview, she just really wants to make it to Final Three.
She's playing a goat game.
Everybody who says that, I feel like it's a track thing, right? Anybody who has said that in either Survivor or Big Brother, that is always the goat. That person always makes it to at least Final Three or Four.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Yeah. Because they're just willing to be like, I'll vote with whatever you want, and they never backtrack.
Yep. Yep. 100%. Goat is lowercase goat, not all caps goats, which is greatest of all time. No, this isn't Survivor. Goat is meaning you're just brought along to the end.
Yes.
I did think it was interesting that Shan got like that, and I'm sorry, I have not brushed up on my edgic in 2 years, but what's the like, you know, neutral thing, like where she got it wasn't like a super negative edit tonight, but for the first time we saw that Shan doesn't have full control over it.
Makes sense. There's a lot of moving parts. Ricard was safe, so she didn't really have to do much. And the thing she did do wasn't great. Like, she didn't help Liana execute that plan very well.
But there was also Liana and Tiffany. Like,
no, I agree. Like, I think Shan made the right move in that she didn't put too much influence on the Liana thing. Like, she was there to give advice, but she didn't put too heavy of a hand, so it wouldn't have come back to hurt her if it did go one way or the other. So,
I think they might be setting her edit up for a fall.
Mm-hmm.
I think I hope she sticks around for a long time. I really, really enjoy her. Like the way she thinks. She's great with her confessionals.
Yep.
But I think we've got a peak, and then we got that little like fight between mom and dad about the like, give me my idol back. Mm-hmm. No. And since then, there's just like she's just coming down a notch a little bit each time. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Hope that just, you know.
She's my winner's pick. I'm a Shan stan all the way.
I love her.
I am too. And who knows if they are not just getting that Wentworth doesn't count edit.
Oof,
and if they're able to really, if they're able to really come together and form like an all black alliance, like they've kind of discussed, she's going to have that added protection there. So she might actually make it. Possibly to Final Four or Final Five if they can really rely on each other.
Yeah, and I think that they can.
Yeah, they seem really tight.
And I know that the internet got super triggered last week But
yeah,
well, the internet needs to settle down.
An entire summer of internet triggers with, you know, with Big Brother. They had their first all black alliance. It's kind of cute because their alliance was called the Cookout, and now fans are calling this alliance the Campout, which is
fun. I heard that. I didn't realize that that's where it came from. Like, I heard the Cookout, but I didn't understand. Okay, so that actually makes a lot more sense.
What do you think here of Erica having a solid fifth place game going on right now?
That's actually not a bad, like, five or six, like, going into the final episode, like, the finale episode edit, where you're like, oh, yeah, there she is, but also you're not like, oh, my God, she's the greatest.
Right, yeah, like,
it's that usually, like, first and fourth,
like,
right?
Elena has a good call. Is it screwing her tribe? Like, no, because they're like, you're Erica, and Harsh calls out. She was included on the majority vote, so that's a good sign. So, yeah, it's a, you know.
Which, again, I mean, that's kind of nuts that, like, you know, nine of them stood up together in, like, a huddle. And the other three were like, yeah, don't play your idol for her. Even though we're, like, you know, the three sitting here. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But Erica might need to make a little bit better friends with Danny. Because I just, for whatever reason, I really think Danny's going to keep his sights on her. Since the second he decided, I don't think he's going to drop it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
And as Elena asked, is she on the bottom? Does she get anything?
Well, she's on the bottom of that kind of former tribe, right? But there's still more players that are in the sights to get booted right now, to where she is like that six or five where they finally get to getting to her.
We're in the point of the game where you're going to eliminate the early threat.
Exactly, which is Xander, Evie.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, because remember when, like, Tony eliminated what's-his-face, and we were like, oh, my God, it's so early to, like, get rid of such a threat, and it paid off, and people have been playing that game since then.
All right, we are running a little long here, Colleen. Listener feedback time. Go ahead and take it away. I think we got two emails.
We have two emails. All right, the first email is from Mandy, and she says Mandy says, once Xander pulls out the idol and Liana knew that he had her advantage, that should have been a tip that it was fake. So why not ask Evie if she has the idol? Exactly. Like, it's just, like, so crazy. Like, guess you're being played. It's Survivor. It's a game. You're being played at any point. Like, the answer, Mandy, is I have no idea. It was just terrible gameplay.
All right. And then the next email.
Victoria. And Jamie, you got to do it too.
No. I won't do it. I refuse. We got the satellite. Jay's got it covered.
I did it already.
He's got it covered.
So this is where Colleen's like, I don't take too long on emails. Like, listen, you've now wasted 30 seconds.
It's literally been 17 seconds. I know this because you made fun of me last week and I looked at the clock.
See, she keeps talking.
Victoria says, yeah, great episode. It was worth that stupid buildup of recap. I was on Pins and Needles, this tribal council, and I loved it. Me too. I must ask, though, why did Sid go over to Yasa? She was strong with her tribe. Did I miss something? There's no way that her name should have been on the block. That shot in the dark almost took me out. Just seems like she should have played both sides and told her old tribe that she would tell them who Yasa was voting out as long as they didn't write her name down. But her petty exit was hilarious. I do have a question, though. What advantage did changing time give Erica? I guess I'm just confused. Seems stupid to me because she ended up voting with her old tribe anyways, who put her out there in the first place.
Well, I think it changed the course of the game for her because she was the easy boot in that grouping, right? Because Sydney became the easy boot because you flipped it. But before that, she would have been the easy boot because she was the odd person out. Right. And so now it's they're going to go for the threats, and she'll last a lot longer because she was safe tonight, and now they know who the real threats are. They need to take them out first, and then they'll worry about her later. And so it completely changed their game.
Yeah,
exposed.
Yeah, they were forced to divert their attention from her.
Yep.
And they just changed the course correction of it.
Yeah. It so changed the course of history.
And did you know that the ring lady was actually in the hourglass?
Anyway.
Yeah.
Is that the rest?
Yeah. Well, I think we talked a little bit about Sid going to Yasso. We don't know. Two days not shown.
I think that was just the disintegration, destruction, the fall of her lack of game or even really trying that much. Because, yeah, she kind of just, it crumbled, folded like a house of cards. But I think she realized at that point she was the odd person out in that grouping that was not safe. And they were basically throwing out her name immediately. So she wasn't going to be with the big block. She had to figure out a way to win with the smaller block. But she still played her own game, which hurt her in the long run by, you know, wasting her vote. But ask my question here then is, was that the right play? I think we all agree it wasn't. But
right.
Do you see a way where doing the, what is it called again? The rolling the dice or the shot in the dark.
He was also a giant. That's what she said. That's also questionably me too, but okay.
It also should be a dartboard and not an imaginary dice.
Agreed.
Just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, but in the moment, she, you know, and the way she thought everything was stacked against her, I don't think that she really thought to the point of, well, maybe me not having a vote is what's going to actually cause me to go. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have a chance.
Yeah.
I have to take this. It's my only chance. And if I don't, you know, maybe what Jeannie should have done. And that's it. That's all I've got. So,
yeah. No, that's fair. Like, I see why she did, but I think if she took a step back and maybe did a little bit of the math, it'd be better for her to have a guaranteed vote as opposed to not. Because, especially in that, where you probably expect them to split their votes, a group of four votes is really strong in that situation because you have there's a chance that it could actually go in the right way. So, she's got to be thinking like this.
So, you're telling me there's a chance.
And in that scenario, you really want to make sure that you can give yourself as many votes as possible. But yeah. All right, Colleen, any other thoughts there from that email? Mm-mm. Okay, well, now it is time to tally the votes. Let's see how our preseason picks went. Let me pull it up here.
I was so close.
Well, we were right. All of us had Sydney as a pre-merge. This was still technically pre-merge. It merged after this. So we all got points because it was clear very early on that Sydney...
there is no chance that Sydney's not a spoiled brat princess because her entire exit interview was like, F you guys, F the horses that I'm riding out on, and my daddy is going to call your manager. That was basically...
Hop on our yacht and sail away.
Oh my goodness. So we all get points there, and then let's look at what we picked last week. Jack picked Danny. Wasn't even close to having Colleen picked Evie. It was a possibility.
Oh, still close, but I'm happy that I lost.
And I don't know why I picked Ricard, but I did, so that was a bad pick. All right, Colleen, you are up first, and Jamie, you're picking in Jack's slot. You're picking for him, so you could possibly get him a point here, but you'll be picking last. Colleen, you're up first.
I'm going to go with Evie again.
Ooh, okay.
I think that, you know, there are some players on Survivor that their days are numbered and they're constantly, like,
on
the chopping block?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Shan and whoever else still... has her in their sights.
Yeah.
Her days are numbered. Their days are numbered. I love Evie. I think that she's fun. I think that they're fun to watch, but I think that their days are numbered.
I think that's fair. I think I'm going to copy you.
Oh.
I'm just going to try
you're not going to like make fun of me, but just copy me.
No, I think you're right. I think their days are numbered. Which I feel bad for them in that scenario, but because I do think Evie is a really solid player that I hope they bring back at some point in time. And with really dexterous toes.
Yes.
They should, you know what? They should just have like Survivor season 46, dexterous toes. And it's just
all feet. It'd be directed by Quentin Tarantino.
Right. And that dude, Dan, that was just all sorts of trouble.
Jamie, as Jack, who do you think's going home next week?
okay, guys, you kind of put me in a struggle because my gut says I do want to go for Evie. They put themselves in a position when they started blabbering secrets the second they met somebody not on their tribe. Mm-hmm. And then there was like the little tiff between Liana and her. She's made ruffled feathers with Deshaun.
Right. And like
she seems like Evie. The obvious choice.
Yeah.
If she doesn't win immunity, she's going to go. But yep. I'm picking for Jack.
Yep.
Right. And Jack would not be like, I mean,
he doesn't like going with the group about every little thing. So
Jack would be like, I'm going to go with Xander.
I'm going to go with the opposing force on this. And I'm going to pick Liana.
Ooh,
that would be a twist.
Evie is pretty good at turning things around if she gets a chance to talk to people.
Because Evie, like, they have a good network of people.
Yes.
But so does Shan.
Some close people, but yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. I'm picking Liana as maybe a little bit of shot in the dark, but.
Shot in the dark, and you're to blame.
You give Jack a bad name.
Miami Mike has the breakdown. The final vote was Sydney with 5 votes. That was Shan, Nasir, Liana. Shan used her double vote? What?
Oh. Okay, so, that's where the extra vote is. Because I kept saying, I don't understand
wait,
how there's 13.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, that can't be it because that's 6. I think you maybe just wrote Shan twice. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. Shan, Nasir, Liana, okay. Heather, Erica.
Okay.
Evie with 4. That's 2 Deshaun, Ricard, and Danny. And then Deshaun with 3. That was Xander, Tiffany, and Evie.
Which was that little mini alliance.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is a minority alliance that very much got the best of them because of, you know, some theater. And it was very much like community theater tonight, but it worked.
We each got a tally point.
Improv community theater.
Improv community theater, which basically involved Tiffany like duct taping her mouth shut.
Oh boy.
There the whole time going.
She did. And the funny thing is, again, the camera caught it every time, but nobody paid attention. And she was clearly emoting.
Oh my
and
God.
A good.
They weren't like, paying attention to it because even Shan was like, we're voting Sydney, right? Like, what are you doing?
But a good like opposing tribal member would pay attention to. There was only 3 of them, 4 of them. Yes. There were only 4 of them. Like, you can't pay attention to all 4. Like, we clearly saw her smirking, and that was what made it so hilarious.
Facial expressions, people. It's the first rule in poker.
Yeah, okay, here's a tip. Future Survivor players, if you're playing with anybody from Long Island, New York, look at their facial expressions. It's all there.
Or their hands.
There you go.
Like, if they're cracking their knuckles or they're, like, secret, like, giving the finger.
If they're, like, no, if they're, like, scratching their nose a lot, they do that a lot, too.
I do that a lot. I do.
It's really annoying. Anyways.
I'm sorry.
Chris, acting? all right, final tally for today. Jack is in last place with 3 tally votes. I am in second with 5, and Colleen in the lead with 6 tally votes. So there you go. That is that, and that will wrap up this episode of Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen. Join us on our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups. That's Jay and Jack group. Hit the subscribe button and that bell icon if you want to be notified when the next episode of Survivor with JJC drops, which is usually about 15 or 20 minutes after the episode airs on the East Coast. And
we will put the link in the Facebook group, and I will put it on Twitter.
But it's even better if you hit subscribe and the bell icon. It makes it that much easier because you get notified. Also, hit the like button. All of the people in the chat right now, make sure you hit that like button. That's really important, too. Jamie, thank you so much for subbing in for Jack this week.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Such a great energy and
we should just kick me out and have you in.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that, to be honest.
I wear optimistic sarcasm. It's fine.
Thank you, everyone in the chat. Ours, Miami Mike, Chris, the Elena, Sherry, Janet.
Ro was here.
Ro was here, Miami Mike. Let me just keep going through. I think it's just about, if I missed you, I'm sorry. Oh, Crackpot Sports was in the house. Legendary Crackpot Sports.
He's just a troll.
He's not a troll. Scott D was here as well. And Ro was here earlier.
Eric, right?
What's that?
I said Scott D, not Scott Eric, right?
Correct. Scott D. Scott D.
Right, because we have to listen to... Oh, but Jamie does a podcast with him. So I can't make fun of the fact that we have to listen to his before he'll come to us.
Anyway.
Do whatever you want to do.
We all
know the real game. It's fine.
I want to thank everybody that listens to the show, and I want to especially thank our patrons that make this show possible, and I want to especially thank a certain subset of patrons, and that's...
Eckhart Richter and Jack from Tokyo, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, and the Creepy Mailman, and at some point I'm told Gott the Democrat will be adding his name. As long as he can go last.
He's enjoying a cruise right now with his father.
Ah.
Well, that's right. He was telling me about that when he was here.
Yeah, he was actually telling us about this when he was here.
I hope it's going well for his sake. All right.
If you are a patron at the $5 or more level, my children, plural, and I are now doing the bonus episodes for the week. So give us a listen.
Why do you have to laugh?
Remember, they're 3 and 7.
Oh.
But they're entertaining.
If you find it entertaining, I have to live with it, so it's still pretty entertaining. All right, until next time. Oh, yeah, check out the latest Sports Talk with Three Stupid Guys. We just put out a new episode 4 years ago. Thanks, Michael.
And also, Jamie does stuff with
Sports. Crazy Hank. Crazy Hank.
Yeah, we're over at Crazy Hank TV. We talk tea and about Survivor and Big Brother and possibly Celebrity Big Brother, but we haven't committed to that yet because that's a big gag. But we might.
And you can find that on youtube.com/CrazyHankTV. All right, that is it. That's all we got. Bye-bye. Thank you again to everybody. And good luck to the contestants next week. It's finally merge time. It's the playoffs of Survivor. And until next time.
Beware.
Hasta luego. And goodbye.